You're going to love this. Are we on verse 22? Okay. As a ring of gold is in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Miles Coverdale was one of the first translators of our Bible into English. In the 1549 translation, it is written like this. I did not change or let spell correction correct the spelling. A fair woman without discreet manners is like a ring of gold in a swine's snout. That's exactly. Now we understand it. We just can't hardly read it. You think I'm speaking in tongues. I'm not. Solomon is teaching Rehoboam that a beautiful woman who has no modesty in her dress, a beautiful woman who has no distinction in her ways or in her manners, is no better than a pig that's got a gold ring in its nose. Okay. How good is a pig with a ring in its nose if you are Jewish? Not any is what he's saying. That's exactly right, Ernest. That's right. Because they were not allowed to have them, to herd them, to eat them, or whatsoever. Pork, pigs, swine was prohibited from being anywhere in the life of a Jewish person. She can be as beautiful and as fair a woman as you've ever seen in your life. But if the way she dresses and the way she talks and the way she acts is no good, she's no better to a Jew than a pig with a gold ring in its nose. In fact, a Jew could not even do anything with the gold ring once the pig was done away with because it had touched the pig. It's no good whatsoever. So outwardly, beauty only goes so far, Rehoboam. Choose the wife that's going to be your wife wisely. It's not always the most beautiful woman out there who is the right person for your life. Don't chase after beauty. Don't chase after, conversely, someone that is handsome. Now listen, I understand most of y'all have already done your chasing. And you're about chased out. I understand that. So those of you who have already done your chasing, you've already been through this. You've been through the friend saying, I don't see what you see in him. Oh, but he is so kind. And he really is a gentle man, and he has a great business mind, and he's making wise decisions, and he's putting away for the future already, even now, and he's not extravagant, and there's just something about him that I love. The one thing that I always hate to hear is, he makes me laugh. We're so much alike. You've heard those things, haven't you? Some of you have said them. I love him because he makes me laugh. Well, I got news for you. After you eat the wedding cake, which is the curse of most marriages, because you have advertised what life with you is going to be like when you're married, and then you eat the wedding cake and you don't ever do anything that you used to do again. You remember how you used to call each other and you used to go dating and you used to listen to each other just breathe on the phone? You had nothing to say, but you were just listening. That's advertisement. Guys, you're the worst at this. You hung on the phone just listening to her, and y'all had nothing to say because most of you guys have nothing really to say, and you just wanted to hear her voice and hear her breathe. And then you eat the wedding cake, and all you're interested in is the football game. And she would love to have you in there doing the dishes with her. She would love. Wrong. Well, in some cases, I have known some women that would rather just do the dishes themselves because the husbands just can't do it right. I understand that. I've heard that. And I said, okay, well, maybe there's some other reason why he was listening to you breathe on the phone. But you stopped the advertisement. A good marriage does not stop doing what you did when you were dating. You keep doing it and add a few things to it. Every day, every month, every year, you add things to it. It's not about beauty, folks. It's about true love that is put together in God's way. Verse 23, the desires of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Here's a theme that's already been brought up. Same thing about the way we think and what we do. It should be our desire as a righteous person to do good for everyone else. It should not be our desire, if we are a wicked person, to bring wrath to someone else. That's what they expect to do. I know people like that. I know people that are intent on doing evil every single day. They lay on their bed at night and dream up what they can do evil the next day. Verse 24, there is one who scatters, yet increases all the more. We're still talking about righteousness and wicked here. There's one who gives away as what he has to give away, and lo and behold, it seems like he is blessed and blessed because of giving away. And there is the one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in what he wants. And it only results in only want, in fact. Sharing one's resources always brings eternal blessings and internal increases to the person that is righteous, both here and in eternity. However, in this world, there are those, and this just gripes my grits, and I see it daily, who fail to pay their bills. They get a little credit. They get a credit card. Oh, my soul, don't go to college, because every bank out there will send you a credit card with some credit on it. And the kids are already in trouble because they had just so much money to spend, and now they've got a credit card, and they've wasted that credit card on a meal here or a magazine there or something like that. And then the bill comes and they go, well, I've got to eat, so I'll go eat with this other money I've got. I'm not going to pay the bill. And so it goes on and on and on and on and on. And every single week of my life, the plight folds out. Somebody is in my office who owes money. And when you're adults, I am tired of seeing people come to me who owe $70,000 on credit cards. And I ask them, because I'm just brave and bold and I have yet to be wrong, I say, on all these credit cards, what do you have in your possession right now that you bought on these credit cards? Well, we've got some of the magazines because we bought some magazines subscriptions. I said, okay, so do you read them? Do you use them? Oh, no, they're sitting over on the corner. Some of them in the bedroom. Some over here. You know, they're just, I'm not even sure where they are. What do you have? Well, a lot of that was at the Sonic, you know, and buying McDonald's. I said, why in the world? And you cannot pay. And the next thing I know, they're filing bankruptcy. And to me, whether you like it or not, bankruptcy is legal robbery, in my opinion, if you do not pay back what you owe. You have stolen. A righteous person will not steal. And that is theft. I know for 5 years I owned an auto parts business. For 5 years, I had to deal with lousy Christians who promised that they would pay. And the next thing I know, I'm receiving a letter from the bankruptcy court, and my name and my company name is on there, and they have written it all off. That just cost me money. I gave them product and they failed to pay, and that's robbery. I do not know, and I'm just going to tell you how it is. I do not know why there are great people out there who are not Christians who pay their bills on time. I do know that whenever I owned that business for 5 years, the only people I had to go and say, listen, you got to pay something on your note, you got to pay something on your credit, were Christians. I never had to go to a non-Christian and ask for money. just griped my grits. I had a corporation, we all know it, H.B. Zachary Corporation, that bought from me. They bought the part. The next day, I had a check in my mail from them paying the invoice. Boom, 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 boom. Abrams is another corporation, a golf course building corporation, building Bay Oaks Golf Course. They bought from me, and it was a great thing to have them. They bought something that today, by the next day or the next day, I had the payment for that in my office. I didn't know if they were Christian or not. All I knew is they were good customers. They pay what they owe. That is, in its form, a righteous thing to do. Listen, there are these people who do not pay what they justly owe, and they are sluggards. They are slothful. Debt payments that are justly due are due immediately. And by the way, you've heard me say it many times. I'm going to say it again. If you get a bill in the mail today or tomorrow, go through the miracle of online banking and pay it tomorrow. Do not hold it until the day it's due, because you're going to be late whenever you pay it on the day it's due, because it's not going to get there till the next day, and they can ding you with a credit hiccup the next day. And by the way, credit in the credit days and months in the credit world is not the same as days and months on our calendar. Across the board in the state of Texas, when your invoice comes out and printed on, let's say, September the 1st, the payment is due across the board in every company in the state of Texas on the 26th of the month, and it's late on the 27th. They don't have to do that for you. They don't have to hold to that. But that's what's on the books that they can enforce. Pretty interesting, because that's the 30 days in the credit world. Now, that goes back to you need to be in their office by the 26th so that they can handwrite and get it on the books and up everything by the 30th and get your statement out. Some things haven't changed, and they can enact that if they want to, and I've seen them enact it just to be mean to you because you haven't paid on time. Verse 25, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. It really is true, folks. Generosity begets generosity. The more generous I am to others, the more generous they are to me. And in fact, I am blessed on a regular basis, and some of you are too, because you have done something in the past that is generous to someone who had a need, and lo and behold, they come along and say, I can do that for you. Oh, no, I don't want you to have to do that for me. Yes, I want to do that for you because I can do that. Please, please. And by the way, I'm going to say to you this. If a person comes and offers you a gift, never turn down the gift, because you kill their blessing if you turn down the gift. That doesn't mean that you're not going to turn right around and bless them back with another gift, okay? And bless them. But generosity begets generosity. Generous men will begin to be prosperous, because when you water, the water turns around and comes back. Verse 26, he who withholds grain, the people will curse him. Did you catch that? He who withholds grain or some product, the people will curse them, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. I remember. I don't remember the year, but I remember there was a storm that came through our area back in 79, 80, 81, whatever it was. And electricity in Baytown was out for about 2 weeks in our apartments. And I remember needing batteries for my flashlight. And I went to the store there on Alexander Boulevard to get new batteries. And lo and behold, I looked at the price on those batteries and I said, when did the batteries start costing that amount of money? And it was four times what a battery cost just a couple of months before the storm. So I'm thinking, do batteries really cost this much? So I called my brother-in-law up in Dallas. I said, hey, Larry, what's batteries cost? Well, son, I hadn't bought a battery in a long time. I don't know. I said, well, go look at the price of a battery. He said, well, we got a gift shop here in the AIG building. I'll go check out what it costs. He came back and told me. I said, that's four times. My batteries down here are four times more expensive than what I can pay in Dallas. I can have you buy them there and ship them to me cheaper than I can buy them here. You know what had happened? Because they were scarce, the businessmen had upped the price to make an unfair gain on them. And I never will forget me walking out of that place and thinking, I will never, ever buy from these people again. I cursed them. And I didn't. And not only did I not buy from them, many people didn't buy from them because they were shut down within 2 years. They just didn't survive. They got down to nothing. And I remember going around the corner down just past Showlander, and there was a little store down there, and I walked in to get batteries, and I thought, this is crazy. They're probably going to do the same thing. But they weren't. His prices were exactly the same. And I said to the man, I said, mister, I said, your price is the same price. This guy down here, he's charging four times his price. He says, son, he said, that's the price where I make my profit, and I'm going to order these batteries back in, and they're going to come back to me, and they're going to go on the shelf, and I'm going to sell at a profit, and it's going to be a good profit. And it was the first time I had ever heard 1.67 mentioned about a profit. And he says, son, I mark up what I sell one by 1.67. That means the one, I'm going to get exactly what I paid for it, and I'm going to get 0.67 more for my profit. That's what I have to make to keep the store open. Now, that just flew right over my head. I never knew what he's talking about. And he said to me, he said, after the bills are paid and everything, 0.42 is what I take home. 0.42% is what I take home, or hundreds of percent is what I take home. That still went over my head until later on in life, as I finished up and took some accounting courses and stuff like that, I realized what he meant. Those are just things that he did to stay, and he didn't vary from them. As prices went up, the price of the batteries went up. But he didn't stick it to the people just because they had a need. How sad it is for those who hold back. They will be and sell at an exorbitant price. They will be cursed. Promise you. Now listen, there's other places, other ways that we can throw those out in examples. We just one for today. Verse 27. He who diligently seeks good seeks favor. But he who searches after evil, it will come upon him. Here's that theme again. It's a repeated theme over and over, just said in a different way. Good seeks good, evil seeks evil. You will never see someone who is doing evil trying to get good come out with something good. You will never see someone doing good trying to come out with evil come out with something that's evil. Because when you do good for people, good comes out of it. Now, sometimes when you're doing good, a little heartache comes along. That's where my phrase, no good deed goes unpunished, comes. But I have now lived long enough to know that sometimes people come back with evil against something you've done good. But guess what happens down the road? Down the road, good comes out of it because they remember the good that you did for them. I could stay on that for an hour. I will go on. Verse 28. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. Money cannot secure you anything as a person in this world. It can buy you stuff, but the more you buy, the stuff begins to own you. I am ready to downsize. I have got all the pretty stuff. We've had all the pretty stuff. Now I'm ready to downsize. I am. I am ready to stop having to pace to take care of things. Now that's how I feel right now. When I get home and talk to my wife about it, I will change my mind because she still likes all the stuff. And I am happy to help her with all of that. But listen, riches do not bring happiness. We know that. That is the reason why the statistics on those people who win the lottery, it is a huge statistic of those who commit suicide after winning the lottery. It is a huge statistic because they end up giving their money away thinking it will always be there and oh, they can win it again, but they can't win it again. Money does not buy happiness. If you are unhappy in your head, you're going to be unhappy in your head on the other side. Look here, 29. He who troubles his own house will inherit wind. Inherit wind. You got it? Blow hard. That's all you get. Reading on. And the foolish will be servant to the wise hearted. Okay, let's understand this. This past week, I had a family that brought in and wanted me to notarize a will for them. And in that will, I started looking. And you know, through our attorneys, we have completed almost 1,500 wills this past year and packages. So I'm not saying that I'm a pro in that, but I do know when things don't look right. And so I just happened to look down, and on this trust legal website where they got their will, the second paragraph said, I intentionally disinherit from this will, and he had listed all the names of his kids and his stepkids. And so I looked at him and said, you're going to disinherit your kids? Oh, yeah, I don't want them to get anything. I said, okay. And so as I'm flipping through the next page, there's the what he's going to give away. And he says he wants to give everything to his wife. And I thought, okay, that's all right. And then the second little line on this says, in case she does not survive me by 30 days, I want to give it to my heirs. And so I said, okay, who are your heirs? My kids. And I said, I handed it back to him. I said, I'm not going to notarize that. You need to go see an attorney because you disinherited your heirs, and I don't think they can be part of yours. I may be wrong. I don't know, but you got to go see an attorney. So I gave him an attorney's name to send off to go talk it over with because that's stupid. Because he wants his kids to get it, but he's intentionally leaving them out of the will. Okay? It just doesn't work that way. I see that. Okay, understand here. If you are a person who brings dishonor to your family, you may become disinherited. Once you become disinherited, you will receive nothing from your parents about when they die. So you are no better off then to in the family than the servant who is hired by the parents, that the parents pay for their room and board in the way we used to do servants, and the parents, you know, hire them to work. They're just hired employees. You have a place to stay. You have room and board, but you, like the employee, get nothing when the people who are employing you die because you've done something stupid and become disinherited by your parents. So people who live harmoniously in relationships with their families, they stay as part of the family. So what happens when the parents die and you're disinherited? All those other brothers and siblings and sisters and whatever, they get their part they were going to get, and then they get to split your part up too to go to them because you get nothing because of how you have thought in your head and how you have acted. The only thing you can get is grab a jar off of the mantle and try to grab some of the wind in the room because that's all you're going to get. It's just the air you breathe. Verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. Ah, we're back to the eternal here. The tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden. Righteousness and righteous acts like the fruit of its tree. And it nourishes the needs of those, the needs of the body, the needs of the soul, the needs of the spirit. So the righteous will seek to share the tree of life with those who are still wandering around in this world. You see those who are wandering without the Lord, and you want them to be part of the Lord. Folks, there is nothing more engaging than being able to bring someone to the throne of the Lord and them accept eternal life. Some of you men don't like to go to the mall, but your wife wants to go to the mall, and so you'll go to the mall and sit outside the stores. I know that because I have seen several of you there. I personally like to go look in the stores with my wife. and I am glad to do it. Now, sometimes they go in some stores and I will sit outside. But what's interesting, too, is the mall is a great place to share your faith if you're a man with other men. Because all you have to do when you're having your pity party about not wanting to be at the mall is to go sit by someone, a man, another man about your age, and just strike up a conversation about being there. And it will not take you long to realize you are glad you're married to the person you're married to, number one, and you are glad that you're there by your own choice to be at the mall because he is not. And number two, you get to bring up that topic about, you know, have you ever thought about spiritual things? Are you a spiritual person? Do you ever think about things about God and about heaven and about eternity? You know, we're getting up there in age a little bit. Do you ever think about anything like that? And there the door is opened to share with the Lord with them. We never want to pass up that opportunity to offer some of the fruit of the tree of life to them. Now here we go with the very last verse in this lesson. Verse 31, it says, if the righteous will be rewarded in the earth, how much more will the wicked and the sinner? All right. When we go over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18, the Apostle Peter actually quotes this a little different, but he's quoting as he understands it. It says, and if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? If you by your righteousness and by the skin of your teeth, because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, enter into eternity, what will happen to those who have never made that choice? What is going to be their fate? Righteous will be punished by being given eternal life. That's their punishment. Doesn't sound like any punishment at all. Because their judgment at the bema will be the giving of gifts of jewels and crowns for eternal life. The judgment of those who do not have the Lord will be the lake of fire, eternal burning, eternally being out of the presence of the Lord. The blessed will have the presence of the Lord with them forever. And so that ends chapter 11, and we'll pick up there with a thought next week that ties into this thought when we do that. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. Just to spend a few minutes to apply some of these things that we do and the way we think, the way we operate, and learn from Solomon as he's sharing with his son about important things of life that change us. The difference between being righteous and being unrighteous, the difference between being godly and ungodly, the difference between being holy and unholy. May we be righteous, Lord, for you. May we be and live godly for you. May we make proper, wonderful, truthful, moral decisions in this life that affect others, so they will come to you. In your name, amen and amen.